Today I was looking online, and as I do at times, and there's a family that I really am fond of to a certain degree. And the reason why is because of the way that they're rearing their children, the way that they are raising their children and teaching them the ways of the Lord. Well, today she posted a photo of her child. Her son's name is Phoenix. And she said on the photo that every time he is asked to pray, he bows his head. He's 3 years old. Well, today, I guess in worship, you know, one of the brothers was up there praying, and, you know, he was praying. And I thought it was very interesting that from a child being reared the right way to pray, to honor God. And it caused my heart to melt. Those who were with me at the table, I showed them the picture, and it caused their heart to melt. I asked her, can I share this? Because the share button wasn't on the page. She said, yeah, you can share this. It's amazing how many people thought the same thing I thought. And I thought about Jesus. And I thought about the disciples. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. We're going to look at Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5, Mark 9, 33 through 37, Luke 9, verse 46 through 48. We're going to find the same situation going on here. We have Jesus and his disciples. They're in Capernaum, if you will. They're walking. And as they're walking, they're, of course, as a leader, they're always walking in front of those in whom they're teaching. Well, they're in the back, and they're having this discussion. And this discussion that they were having was, who's the greatest? And can you imagine? You have Jesus the Christ. He's your leader, your guide, your master, your Lord. And you're learning so much from him. And they're kind of huddled up, walking behind him. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. Jesus, in Luke's account, I believe it is, he says, what were you disputing about? Mark's account, he talks about what they were disputing about. They didn't really want to say anything. So Jesus uses a little child. Make me think of Phoenix. A little child. Before we go to the story in Mark's, Matthew, and Luke's account, let me tell you something about children. Genesis 1 and verse 28, they're a blessing. All right, let's slow down a little bit. Let's think about this. In Psalm 127, the whole division there, it talks about how they are arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. They are heritage. Let's slow down. Let's think about that. Let's think about how important children are, the humility that they have, the attitudes that they have. They come into this world, according to Romans chapter 9, verse number 11, knowing nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, knowing nothing. Isaiah 7 and verse number 15 and 16, they're taught to refuse the evil and choose the good. They can be taught those things. The more I thought about that, I thought about what Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse number, I believe, 12 in that area, where we shouldn't be no more children tossed to and fro. Got that idea. And then you have the idea of 1 Corinthians 13 and verse number 11, where the scriptures teach, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. So we have these ideas. So I don't want to be imbalanced up here talking about, well, we need to be like children. Well, Jesus said that, but he wants us to grow in grace. I mean, grow in favor, grow according to his word. But the aspect that I want us to focus in on is Jesus brings a little child. It's like me having Nathan and say, come here and stand right here. I need you so I can demonstrate to these older guys right here the way they ought to be. And so it made me think and really appreciate children. Remember growing our children up. Our Uncle Gates, who was an elder in the Lord's church, pulled me to the side one time in the foyer, and he said, these children, I know they're going to be a burden. They're a burden to you right now. But one day, they're going to be a blessing to you. They are. All five of them. But it was going to require some humility. You know, except we be as little children, you can't even enter into the church. One thing we know about children, Brother Pope Joy, is that, you know, you can give them a spanking and the next thing you know, a couple minutes later, they're hugging your leg. They're always running to mom and dad. I mean, when they're real nice and innocent. I think that's an attitude that God is teaching us. Look at the text. Start at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus calls a little one, a little child, unto him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted." That's the first word we want to consider. The word there literally means to have a change of mind. That makes sense. You have someone who is outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the kingdom of heaven, outside of the ark of safety. If you're going to be saved, you got to have a change of mind. Because there's a reason why you're outside of the ark of safety. Keep in mind that when children are born, they're saved. Right? This is why we don't baptize babies. Because they're safe. Here, Jesus said to his disciples, he's been teaching them for a span of years now, and they're discussing who's the greatest. I am. No, I am. No, I am. You know, sometimes people do that even today. Muhammad Ali, you remember, well, those who do remember, he used to always say, "I'm the greatest." No, Jesus is the greatest. And notice the text. And become, that's another important word in the discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples. Coming into the existence of. Coming into the existence of a little child, little children. You shall not, notice the key word, enter. The same word, same idea in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter. Which suggests very clearly that the Pharisees' righteousness and scribes' righteousness was not the righteousness of God. To be declared right before God, you have to be declared right according to his standards. The way that he does things, the way that he says to do it. Jesus tells his disciples, except you be as one of these little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Notice what he also says. Whosoever therefore shall, here's our second word, Brother Royce, humble themselves. One of the hardest things to do is to remain humble. Oh, we make so many mistakes as humanity because we think more of ourselves than what we ought to. I'm all of that in a bag of chips. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, that church ain't going to do nothing without me. I used to tell folk all the time, you don't think that the church is going to go on without you? Die and find out. We're going to put you in a box, come back here, eat some chicken and green beans, and we're going to continue to keep going. Why? Because that's what the church does. Humility says the church is going to continue to go forward because God said so. Humility says that I'm going to do the will of God regardless of what happens to my life. Humility says that I'm going to do the will of God because it's right. Now, can you imagine this conversation? And we're just seeing one side. We haven't even got to Luke's side yet or Mark's side. Notice, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Now keep in mind, they're having this discussion and Jesus said, give me a little boy or a little child or whatever it is, boy or girl. We know it's one of them. That's another study in and of itself. You got the child, it goes right here. Can you imagine all of the disciples and they're looking at this child next to their Lord? Except you're like him. Innocent. Humble. Willing to change their mind. Some people are not willing to change their mind even though the evidence is right in their face. They're not willing to change their mind, even though you got two or three people telling you. I often say, and I'll keep on saying, you can take a bear out the woods and put him in the zoo. He's still a bear. You get that when you get home. Friends, truth is still truth. The question is, are we going to be humble enough to accept it? Here, the disciples, as they're having this conversation, they're being made to halt to think about this particular question. Notice what he says. And whosoever, verse 5, shall receive who? One such little child in my name. What type of child, Jesus? What type of person should I accept? The humble individual. The one that was willing to change their mind and be converted, if you will. You know what? We should be like that. We should be willing that if someone brings something to our attention, and we come to find out that it's true, we say, thank you for telling me the truth. Look at Proverbs 9 and verse 8. In Proverbs 9 and verse 8, Solomon tells his son Rehoboam something very important. Very familiar passage to those of us who read the Proverbs every now and then. Notice what this particular passage says, worthy of our consideration. Reprove a scorner, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. One version says, correct a scorner, and he'll hate you. Correct someone who is really not correctable. Now, what I mean by that is this. This is an individual that is so haughty, so arrogant, that he doesn't think he's wrong, even though all the evidence is there. That's sad, Brian. But if you rebuke a wise man, he'll say, man, I love you. Why? A person that loves another person so much to tell them the truth about them ought to say, man, you're my friend. Isn't that beautiful? Look at Luke's account, or Mark's account, I'm sorry, Mark 9. Look at Mark 9, 33 through 37. And as I was thinking about this today, I thought about that little boy. Hold on, he's 3 years old. Usually, around 3 years old, that personality begins to come out, and you can find out or begin to realize if they're going to be cantankerous, or they're going to be honorary, or they're going to be humble. By that time, you know what your child's going to be like. What's odd about that child? That child's being trained. Can I say something to my teenagers, young adults? If you have been trained properly, stick with your training. Don't allow someone who is on the outside, 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communication corrupt good morals. Don't allow them to corrupt the good training that you have been taught. It's important. But then look at Mark chapter 9, 33 through 37. Mark chapter 9, 33 through 37. We see the same story, of course. But here we have the locale, Capernaum. They're in the house. He asked them, what were y'all disputing among yourselves about? They said nothing. And usually, arrogants don't say much when they're asked point blank questions. That's why, friends, humility is the key. And it's hard sometimes. No wonder 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Test yourselves. Every single day, I need to be examining myself. When I wake up, I need to be examining myself. Throughout the day, I need to be examining myself. Before I go to bed, I need to examine the day that I had. Why? Because I want to measure myself against the Word of God, against Christ, who is the measuring stick. Humility does that. So they held their peace, verse 34. He brings this child, verse number 36. And we see in verse 37, whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but notice the blessing, receiveth him, but him that sent me. Think about this. When I am in fellowship with someone who is in fellowship with God, when I accept him, Bible teaches us that we are accepting God. That's why when you even think of one of the qualifications of an elder, he's a lover of good men. It's a sad thing when men don't love good men. If a man is good, I ought to love him. Why? The Bible teaches me to love good men. Look at Luke 9. Look at this one. In Luke 9, 46 through 48. And one of the things that I know that if you truly want to be great, if you really want to be great, it's not about throwing a ball. It's not about hoops. It's not about those types of things. It's about being a servant. It's about being there when people really need you. And this is why you think of even shepherds in the church, they ought to smell like sheep. When I walk by an elder, I ought to smell sheep. Hold on. When I walk by a Christian, I ought to smell a servant. Why? Because all of us are servants. All of us should be individuals who are humble. Look at verse 46. Same story here. Just reiterate it because we get different sides of the story here to get the Psalm 119, 160 effect. Then there arose reasoning among them. Which of them should be greatest? And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their hearts, took a child and set him by him. And he said, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me. And whoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least, here it is, he that is least among you all, Braswell, you see this point here? He's the greatest. Sometimes we take on the world's mentality. And the world's mentality is how can I get to the top? The way up, guess what, friends? Down. That's the way up. And no wonder, Philippians chapter 2 is a great illustration of this. 1 through 8. Jesus came down, did the work of the Lord, died upon the cross, and guess what God did? He exalted him. The way up is down. If I want to be great, I have to be a servant. I have to have the attitude of humility. I am not all of that in a bag of chips. No wonder Luke 17 and verse 10. Look at that passage. In Luke 17 and verse number 10, this is the Christian attitude. This is the Christian attitude. You go back and you read the rest of the context and you'll be blessed by it. So likewise, verse 10, ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Do you know that after you have done everything that you have been commanded by God, the best thing you can say to God, I'm just doing what you have asked me. And sometimes individuals just got to have the name in the bulletin. I'm not talking about here, this is where I used to preach. Y'all smile. Some people just got to have their name in the paper. They just got to be patted on the back. No, our reward is in heaven. And the more I thought about little Phoenix, they're teaching that boy. They're teaching that child. Young mothers, fathers, teach your children how to be servants now. Because if you don't, you'll be serving them the rest of your life. We teach our children how to be servants, so when they leave our home, they're going to serve God and serve the church, and they're going to smell like sheep, even though they're not elders. Nothing wrong with smelling like sheep. And there's nothing wrong with people treating you like a servant. Every now and then, a servant is mistreated by people, but never by the master. Our master never mistreats us. And here, these individuals spending this time with the greatest man that ever walked on the face of the earth, and they're arguing amongst themselves, having this private conversation as if Jesus could not hear. Who's the greatest, you think? I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. Truth be told, when it comes to the church, Jesus is the greatest. We're just glad to be in the house with him. Aren't you glad to be in the house with the Lord? Hebrews chapter 3. Aren't you glad that this is the place where Jesus gets the glory, where God gets the glory? Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Young people, learn how to serve. We live in a time today where you go into a restaurant, you sit down, folk don't serve you right. We don't act right sometimes. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about this is our mentality. Question. We have some servers here or ex-servers here. They don't like to be mistreated. Didn't like it then. Don't like it now. It's a horrible thing when a person goes into a restaurant and mistreats an individual that they have never met before because their tea wasn't filled. That's horrible. Well, I'm paying for a service. But you're never paying to mistreat nobody. And one thing I love about the Lord, He never mistreats us. He never mistreats His servants. And His servants shouldn't mistreat God's servants. Well, I just want to encourage us. Because when I see children who are being reared by their Christian parents, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to sing in church, and then you see the fruits of that, that's beautiful. Because if our children are going to be Christians, I'm talking about in the true sense of the word, it starts in the house. It starts at home. If we're going to be the church of God, like we're supposed to be, that pulpit has to be solid. The elders have to be leading. See the phone call just today of an eldership. They ain't doing well. Friends, we're blessed. And the Lord's people deserve good leadership. Friends, they should not just have it. They deserve it. And the Lord's people shouldn't just have servants. The Lord's people deserve great servants. And that's what we ought to be. So maybe you're not a child of God. The only way that you can be a servant of Jesus Christ, your sins have to be washed away. You have to understand what it means to be a servant, what it means to be a doulos, a slave. Which means that Jesus being master tells us as servants what to do, not the other way around. I know America has it a little twisted in certain areas. You got children telling their parents what to do. We don't tell God what to do. We don't tell Jesus what to do. He tells us what to do. And with great humility, because we know that He has done what's best for us. He has our best interests at heart. We give that same message to those who are on the outside. Do you know that God is good and God wants you to repent of your sins? Romans 2 and verse number 4, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Don't you want to be led to repentance? They ought to say yes. Don't you want to be a servant of God? Yes. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Yes. Yes. Let me show you how to do that. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. You know what those disciples needed to do? I love how Jesus said, be converted. You need to change your way of thinking. They were haughty. They were arrogant. God, Jesus had to bring them down just a notch. Be willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And guess what God will do? He will do a magnificent work in your life. He will cleanse all your sins from your conscience. He will add you to the glorious body of Christ. He will put you in a family that you can live faithfully inside. You could be on your way to heaven. But maybe you're a child of God, you've been arrogant. Brother Stephen said something this morning in class. I really appreciate it. You wasn't there, it's fine. And Brother Dennis, as he was teaching, we were talking about lying. Being deceptive, and how sometimes words can be used in a deceptive way. Stephen said something powerful. Sometimes deception takes place in words are not spoken. It's a great point. The servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord must always be upfront and honest. Why? Because the one in whom he is serving is upfront and honest. Always. So we stop and we consider as the people of God, servants of Jesus Christ, having a humble attitude, converted in our mind, knowing that we're on our way to heaven. We always want to be those servants. So if you want to be great, and guess what? You live in America. 9 times out of 10, if you live in America, you want to be great. You want to be acknowledged. Serve. Serve the Lord this week. Find someone, do something good for them. Do something good as it relates to the 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 16 perspective, if you will. Do something good. Teach someone the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help someone in their troubles. You want to be great. And I guarantee you, they might not say thank you then. They might not even acknowledge you then. But later on, they might say, you know, if it wasn't for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, if it wasn't that, for that guy there, I don't know where I'll be today. You want to be great? Serve. You don't have to wait till you're 30 to do it. You can do it at 15, 16, 18, 22. You don't have to wait till you're 60 and 80. And matter of fact, let me go ahead and say this. And I ain't meddling, I just won't say this. Just because you turn 60 and 70 and 80 don't mean you stop serving. As a matter of fact, your service ought to get stronger because you've been at it longer. As we stand, see, and say this invitation.